chapter 2, reading from verse 16 to 17. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than a fool. For error, forever. Seeing that which now is, in the days to come, shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as a fool? Therefore I hate that life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. The commentary of the preacher on what it's all about in this whole chapter. And the topic that is assigned to me is the diary of a wise old man. From the book that is written by this wise old man, who is none other than King Solomon. And isn't he the wisest man that ever lived? No man before him, no man after him, is as wise as King Solomon. And there is a wonderful story written of him to prove his wisdom, when two women came before the king as they fought over a baby. And the true mother said, "This is my baby." The false mother said, "Well, of course, she is my baby." And the king said, "All right, we'll get a sword and cut the baby into two and divide equally." The true mother said, "No, please." The other one said, "Cut." So it shows who is a true mother. Because one of the babies got squashed in the night and died. But the false mother quickly exchanged the baby. Solomon did not have to have all the cameras to try to snap those that are violators of the law. He didn't have to test, blood test, but he used a psychological sword, one stroke. The wisest man that ever lived. But he had a weak point in his life. The Bible records that he failed miserably in the matter of sex, because he married 700 wives and 300 concubines. To me, that is really amazing. When one can hardly take care of one wife and he has got 1,000. But while the Bible accuses him that he failed in the matter of marital relationships, and that drew his heart away from God, yet the record is that he never lost his mind. He still had a very wonderful mind. And chapter 2 tells us that he indulged in the study of many, many subjects. All the subjects you can think of under the sun. And he made comments. And he came to the conclusion that everything that is done under the sun, which means without God, under the sun is, as human beings are under the sun, we only look to the earth, we do not look above. And anything we do even insofar as Christians are concerned. We may also fail miserably. As we backslide, when we are young, we are very zealous for God. When we grow old, we have got many other commitments, and we are tempted to go into the world, such as young people. Instead of being satisfied with a salary, everyone is pursuing wealth, and they go into this and they go into that without the permission of God, but according to their wish. Then it is also vexation of spirit and vanity, because you can be sure of one thing: without God in the enterprise, in the undertaking, you will fail miserably. And I thank God for the many failures in my young life. As you know, I'm the first boy in the ACS, and there's a plaque when I go to Anglo-Chinese school. My name is number 2. 1936. And I graduated Senior Cambridge 1937 as the first boy of the school. But when I went to college, Raffles College, which is the precursor of the National University now, and instead of being in the art stream, which was my strong point, I went to study in the science stream. Because if I get a BSc, you know, it will make me even more up to date. But I failed. And that was the first good step in my life. So I failed, then you know what it is in order to succeed. Well, I failed because my mother vowed me to the Lord to be a pastor, and she told me when I was young, and I accepted it because I loved my mother very much. Not only that, at the age of 15, there was a great revival meeting in Singapore, known as a Singapore Pentecost, but brought by Dr. John Soong. And before anything else, I already repented my sins, was born again, and without his calling for full-time consecrators, I myself made the same vow as my mother. But the time came when I grew very ambitious for the world. After the war, I got myself accepted to Middle Temple as going to take law. But that was going right against God's will and my own vow and my mother's vow. The result was, before I set out, mother died. And I persisted, leaving God out under the sun. And then my little baby girl of 7 months also died in 5 weeks. That was the time when I woke up. All things under the sun will be vanity of vanity and vexation of spirit. Until I now come to repent. And when I repented and I now turned to China to study theology, then I was on the right path, and then the Lord blessed me mightily. In no time, I got a scholarship to go to America to study theology. And after 4 years of study, I came back to Singapore and became a pastor from the year 1950 till now. And the Lord has been blessing me year after year. Even at this age, and I've attained 80 in my 50th year as pastor here. And I thought of, they wanted to build a house, but I like build a house so much, I thought of retaining it, but we are getting more and more congested. So I repented again. I said, all right, we'll go together and we'll work for the building of a new builder house in order to contain the congestion in this big church. And the Lord has blessed. Anything done under the sun, according to your own wish, apart from God, is failure. And that is what Solomon is telling us. And here's a long list. It's very interesting. He studied, first of all, about drinking. And he said that he was in self-control. He did not get drunk. So he can study even more. And he exerted his greatest energy in his many enterprises. I call it structural engineering. He built houses. Horticulture. He cultivated many things. And so forth and so forth. And his study of psychology is the climax before verses 16 and 17. But after that, many more things he referred to that he studied under the sun. He studied the cases of those who break away from God. He studied the cases of those who are in God's will. And this good contrast, so that when we are going to comment on some of the things that he did, it is not all under the sun. Some are done above the sun. Above the sun means away from the mundane things of this world, but in order that we may approach nearer to God and know his good will for us. And so I'd like to comment on four things that he has said, that we may learn some lessons, that we do not fall into the trap of failure. The first thing he said in verse 3, we look at verse 3. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 3. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, meaning that he was in self-control and he was drinking to find out what it is and so forth. What is drinking? Not drinking water. When I say drinking, it means drinking alcoholic drinks. If I say wine, it's not very accurate because there are so many types of wine. If it is red wine, like Vincanis and so forth, that is a very mild type of wine. But they've got brandy and Hennessy and beer, booze. And as my teacher, Dr. Baswell, said, the alcoholic content are so high that it can run a motor car and it make your stomach to be a combustion engine. It must certainly work very bad. But I've come to know exactly the content of wine. Red wine and white wine. We visited a winery in Canada and you put down there 13% is this and 17% is that. And that's very high alcoholic content. It is quite different from the wine that Jesus made, which is just about 3 to 4% in order to preserve the grape juice. This is taught by my teacher, Dr. Harris, who is a chemist, and it goes into this matter of learning what is the meaning of wine. But let me tell you, even if it is 13%, usual wine that you drink. You better realize the seriousness of touching wine. For Solomon in the Proverbs tells us that it is actually a hidden snake. And if you are indulging it a little beyond, you may be addicted. And I have this experience. When I was an interpreter in the government service, naturally I had my clique of friends, and then when I go to a coffee shop, they will order beer and, come on, you join us. And I taste it, it's bitter. I said, I don't like it. Come on, do it again. And the third time, it tastes quite sweet now. But my mother said, son, you don't drink. You don't tell lies. I had a very godly mother. And my mother's word came back, so I stopped. And then I realized after years, if I had gone deeper into it, and I would very much like to drink Vincanis and the red wine at a dinner, eating with meat, enjoying it. But the next step is you may be heavily addicted. And particularly to men who are in a good business, who are working in high places in the world. The Bible here gives us the heartiest warning. You turn back to Proverbs chapter 30, and there is the words of the mother of King Lemuel. And in chapter 31, verse 4 to 5, he says, the mother says to the king, Lemuel, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Particularly not for kings. But you know why Yeltsin has to give up? Not rather for his age, but for his drinking. The great Russian leader has been found drunk. So he is not fit to rule. And the same thing happens to our Singapore government, one high official, which many of you have forgotten, particularly of the younger generation, but the president went on a trip to Sarawak or East Malaysia, and he was a drinking president. Of course, it was hidden from us, but then the thing came out in the open. And then he molested some stewardesses. As a result, he lost his job. It's not for king. It's not for you. An executive. A man of position. But even high or low position for a Christian, it's not for you to drink. That is why there's a great difference between Mr. Lee Kuan Yew and many other heads of state. Our senior minister has always maintained a very clean life, a happy family life, and he does not drink. And so, God has blessed our country with his leadership and wise counsel because we have leaders who keep to all the ethical laws. The lesson to you is you don't play the fool with drink. Oh, you may say, now I don't smoke. There is a social disgrace to smoke. But you may quietly think, let me indulge in a bit of drink to balance up. That is not the way you may be caught. So Solomon, while he was not drunk and he studied all these things, has a good warning for us in Proverbs, as well as his own words in Proverbs. Don't play the fool with drink. Now we come to the next one. Chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees. In them all kinds of fruits. I made pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. All right, what's wrong with this? Nothing wrong. He experimented in building houses, in cultivating vineyards, fruit orchards, and all kinds of agriculture. And that's something good that he has done. He has indulged in productive enterprises. When a land has good produce, that is good value. But when they say, oh, your houses have now appreciated so much, but other houses have also appreciated. So if you sell a house and you buy another one, you don't earn anything. In fact, you lose. But one business enterprise that loses very much is in the speculative enterprise, buying shares, which are of a very dangerous nature. They fluctuate very quickly. I'm glad that Solomon did not tell us that he went to the stock market in Jerusalem and he bought so many shares and he cannot win. He must say, I lost. So it is a good lesson for us. If you are an agriculturist, if you are a plantation owner, like a planting oil palms, and that is a good way of gain in Malaysia especially. Not so much the rubber. They vary the economy. But when you say, I have been doing all this speculative buying, I am very sure you'll not be able to tell me that you have made money, but rather you have lost money. That is from my hearing. I have never played shares. I do not know what to do. In fact, if I go to the modern world, I'll be stuck. They use cards. They don't use any currency, but I always keep my money. So, one good thing is that Solomon did not play shares, but he indulged in productive enterprise. If you won't believe me, I'll tell you some stories. My sister had a friend, and she had her only house. She has not reached the house. She sold for $400,000. These are exact figures. Then she went to the share market. In no time, she lost every cent. She gave up her job to play shares. In no time, when all the shares were gone, she had to go back to work again to make back. Many years ago, there was a big craze in Singapore when they started these cheat funds. Small companies, they loan money out, they pay very high interest. So many people rushed to join this cheat fund, and even armors, domestic helps, would put their money into the cheat fund. because they have very high return of interest. But this man, an Indian man, I forgot his name, something like Narayanan, had stolen all the money and sent them to India. And as a result of his becoming a bankrupt, he lost all the business, but he stashed his money away somewhere. The chit fund now became to be known as the cheat fund. Not the chit fund, but cheat. And there were cases of those who are cheated who got into committing suicide. Very sad. What must the Christian do? Are you playing shares? It is gambling because it's speculative. But honest money earned by sweat and brow is good money, solid money, and God will bless. So if any one of you are thinking of getting rich, and young people, some of them, they have good earnings, and they would like to invest in this speculative, it is a most dangerous thing. This is also taught by Solomon in a roundabout way, because he indulges in constructive work. Then the third thing, we come to verses 7 and 8. And the God, me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house, also had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the province. Well, what does Solomon do here? He practiced what was the labor situation in the olden days. The economy was such that you have the master, and then those who work for you are all slaves. That is the economy. There is no such as thing as a worker stays apart and then will come to the master's house to work, and they have their own way of life. But here they are tied hand and foot at the beck and call of the master day and night, and they live together. And these servants have children, and they are also slaves according to the whole economical setup. Do you know that Singapore has slave laws even as recent as 50 years ago, when we are still under the British? Under the British, there was a law called the Muay Thai Law. Muay Thai is Muay Thai in Cantonese. And it is the little girls who were brought as slaves from China, and these Taukes, masters, owned them. Actual slaves. And the British allowed this custom to go on, but regulated them at a social distance to see that they are not mistreated. It's only after we became independent and we have our own country that all these laws are smashed. There's no more Muay Thai practice. And not only that, the emancipation of labor comes to Singapore most justly and fairly, that our government has a CPF system and has a 30-month bonus system, and in later days when they have better business and profit, some of them get 3 months and 4 months and even 6 months. And even here, the government servants are paid 3 months bonus, or even mid-year they get special bonus. Well, our government wants all our government servants to work hard, I guess. But I hear that indeed Some government servants have to work overtime, overtime, many times. So that's why they give them the compensation. What the difference between the life in the times of Solomon when they are all slaves, and we live in good prosperity. Of course, not every part of Singapore is prosperous. There are all those places where they are crying for help and are not able to make ends meet. But by and large, we are well paid. Do we then thank God for all this goodness? Do we then return thanks to the Lord by giving our tithes? Here comes a difficulty too. A young couple, they've been giving their tithes happily until they come into the idea of speculative trading and all that, and they need to have the money to invest. From the tithes suddenly dropped down to tidbits. And they say, well, we cannot help it. When we make the money, we'll give back to the Lord. Do they? It's very hard. When they go into speculative business, they themselves lose out. One young couple told me, we had bought a nice bungalow many years ago. Of course, it appreciated and they were very happy. But at the time when they bought the house, they'd be so stringent to themselves that they had to forego their lunch. We cannot afford the lunch eating outside, and that is in order to pay our dues. Whatever we do not go beyond our means. Keep to the law of honesty and hard work, and the Lord will supply the rest. Now we come to the fourth point. When you come to verse 12 to 15, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which had been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceive also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, all this is also vanity. Here we have a case of the king, and it is said by Plato that every king is a philosopher, but every philosopher is a king. Well, that's a very wonderful statement. And Solomon did not want to lose out to the philosopher. He's a king, and he studies philosophy, he studies psychology. All this is very deep study. But he found out that whether it be the wise man who walketh in the light and a fool who walks in darkness, but death happens to both of them. And then he said, what is a prophet? I have no advantage over the fool. I am a wise man, but we all die together. So it is vanity of vanities. But he spent a lot of time to study into these psychological situations. That is why when it comes to the end of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 12, the ending verse, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Now this does not excuse those of you who have not graduated from Bible college. You have to study very much to pass. But it applies to those who have already attained high degrees. And he has got his master's degree. And yet he is not satisfied. I must get my doctor's degree. I must get it from very well-known universities. But after that, you come and teach again. How much do you excel with all the years that are spent? And he comes to the conclusion, much study is a weariness of the flesh. If the Lord has already given you enough of training, you can work out from there and be very productive. But just merely to get a degree may stifle you in the end. You are good academicians, but in practical things you do not know. And here's a good lesson for us, that those of the educational world, and you are in the universities, you are in the polytechnic, and you are lecturers and so forth, the more important thing is you do well in the teaching and not just to seek after degrees. I had a friend who came and preached from this very pulpit. His name is called Norton Sterrett, an American. And he comes from India. Before he entered into the Lord's service, before he became secretary of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, he wanted to attain a high degree for his own namesake, and he failed. But then after the Lord called him to work in the university circles, he felt he must have a degree to face up to these very learned people. And then he passed. So he got his doctorate. And he told us from this pulpit, it all depends what you are doing. Is it under the sun or above the sun? And so, we will not be sidetracked into vain labor. There are many who are very highly educated, but according to a Chinese proverb, those who are very literally educated, they cannot even catch a fish. They are not good for practical things. So here, the conclusion after studying these four cases today, what is the result of our investigation? Whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you've got very high prospects or you have no prospects, the good answer I give you this morning is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You have been a Christian, and if you lessen the seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then you are losing out. You should be more and more zealous, because that is the only thing of eternal value. Because as we grow older, and as you grow older, you know, vanity of vanities. Many things really are vain, particularly all your struggles under the sun without God's direction. But rather, as you grow older, your heart is more intent to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness, and you don't worry about your economic needs. All these things, material things, will be added unto you. So that is the conclusion of our study of Solomon's findings of those who are seeking to do their own will under the sun, but we are a saved people, we are above the sun. And so we must know His will and follow it. I've written a book on the sevenfold will of God. And my professor who taught me read the book, and he was very pleased. This is the truth. Disseminate it as far as you can. I've taught it to my students. They're all very happy with the sevenfold will of God. And the first point is the directive will of God. That will be seeking God's kingdom, His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know that this is by God's direction. You know it. from all the circumstances. It works out that you should do a certain thing, and you follow it, God's cooperative will work in that He will bless you speedily along the way. But if you go against it, you know this is God's direction, you go against it, then you fall into the punitive will of God, you come under His punishment. So if you want to do things under the sun, according to your wish, I don't care, I'm sure to succeed. If I succeed, I'll do this. But it never happens. Let us therefore pray that we will live a life above the sun and not under the sun.